This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, apparently all of the I'm checking the market value was for naught. Matthew Stafford agreeing to be and return back to the Rams after he agrees to restructure his deal. We're going to talk plenty about it on a Friday. It's Dukes and Bell. Mike is out today. Chris is in for Mike. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey man.
It's good to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show. Chris Thomas, what was Matthew Stafford doing all this for? Because two teams, and guys, this is important because now we get a chance to see how the rest of these free agent quarterbacks are going to fall into place. We're talking about the combine, and we'll certainly dive in as the Falcons are trying to get all their bearings and figure out who they might want to take as the draft approaches. But this Matthew Stafford news is the first big domino. And if he was going to change teams, then it opened up the Rams situation. But now we know he's agreed to restructure. He visited with, I think, the Raiders and the Giants. So what do you make of this, Chris? Because my whole thing is I think he just wanted to see who loves him, where he could go to try to get the money he wanted, and ultimately he still wanted to be in L.A.
All right, couple things, Carl. This is huge, first of all. As Brian Snicker likes to say in the open, this is huge, big. Because it not only sets in motion, as you said, the rest of the free agent class, it sets in motion now for the draft. Because you take a look at this situation now, how valuable is that number one pick? Because Matthew Stafford was coveted, as you said, by the Raiders, the Giants, who, by the way, pick at number six and number three, respectively, are now one of those or both of those teams going to try to throw an insane package at Tennessee to try to move up to number one to get a young quarterback. Because the Giants, according to everything I was reading, Carl, that was their plan. Their plan was to pay Stafford and to bring him in and be their quarterback for the next couple of years, and then they'll draft their guy after maybe 2025, 2026. So what does that do for the draft order? What does that do for a team maybe like Jacksonville at five or the Jets at seven, where they're now sitting pretty because you have all options on the table now to trade back, try to get more picks? So with Stafford now staying in L.A., I not only think this is a huge move for the development of even guys like, I don't know, Kirk Cousins, because now he becomes more valuable because teams are going to be more needy, but it also really gets in motion what's going to happen in April.
It's a great point. 404-726-0929. You can find us on social media as well. Follow Mike Bell. He's out today at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. C. Dukes in the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Turtle, give me your Twitter handle.
Yeah, at C. Thomas Radio. We'll see who I piss off today.
You probably will. He's right. This is, by the way, an average draft class when you talk about quarterbacks. Look, I'm not going to tell you Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or Jackson Dart might not turn into a really good quarterback in the National Football League. But nobody's touting these guys as the next Andrew Luck. For that matter, the next John Elway. The point is, they're good, they're not great. And if you ask me right now, if I had to choose one of these guys, one before the other, I'm going Shador over Cam. That's just me. But a lot of people are flipping a coin right now, Turtle, and saying, hey, either one of those guys. But when you look at it in its totality, and I'm talking about the class as a whole, I don't think any of these guys go before any of the six guys that went in the top 15 last year. And that includes Quinn Ewers and Jalen Milroe. And I know I ticked off a lot of Alabama fans the other day when I was talking about Milroe. I got nasty, nasty messages from people saying, I don't know what you're watching. Milroe's a winner. Okay. But when they needed him to play at his best, I don't think he did at times last year. And he wasn't impressive statistically. Yes, they beat Georgia. But that's not the end-all of end-alls. It's about how your game translates in the National Football League, and I'm not sure Jalen Milroe is going to be one of those top guys. With all of that said, Turtle, you're absolutely right, and this bodes well for us as Atlanta Falcon fans because we've been hoping that somebody is going to come grab Kirk Cousins, that somebody's going to be willing to potentially make a trade, and it makes our life a whole lot easier. So now some of those teams that were coveting Stafford, maybe, and by the way, Stafford's way better. Stafford's better. Sorry, Kirk. He's better. But maybe they come get Kirk Cousins. What do you think?
I think it's very possible now. And I think it could be possible as high, Carl, as number two.
What?
What if Cleveland now trades down from that pick? What if they trade down to the Jets or to the Raiders, who both need quarterbacks, and then their pivot at QB is to give the Falcons a call? I don't see Aaron Rodgers going to Cleveland. I don't see that. So I think that Kirk Cousins now, I think he was before, but now number one with a bullet, Carl Dukes, for Cleveland. Because if I'm Cleveland, I'm not only getting two first-round picks for Myles Garrett, I'm now saying come get me at number two and give me a first and a second. So now I got three first-round picks. And I got an extra second-round pick this year. And I'm saying, Kirk, all right, fine. Falcons, you want a fifth-round pick for Kirk Cousins and we'll eat $5 to $7 million of his contract? Okay, fine. I think that's worth it for them right now. Because the other option is go get Cam Ward and go 2-15 again. So I think this becomes as high, potentially. Now, is it likely? I would say no. But I think right now Terry Fontenot is bright-eyed and bushy-tailed up there at Flowery Branch saying, hey, we may have an out in this thing after all, Carl.
It's funny you bring up Cleveland. I was on there this morning, and they were intent on asking me about Kirk Cousins and this whole situation and how it's played out and how he's perceived and what went wrong. And all I said was, all I know is we missed the playoffs because he was selfish and didn't want to admit to an injury. And to me, that's not a team player. So that is there. And people in Cleveland heard me say that this morning because that's how I feel, Turtle. I think that's part of this equation. But it doesn't mean that they are not going to be desperate, to your point, desperate enough to make a deal. Atlanta, let's hope so. 404-726-0929. That would be the best case scenario. And Sam Darnold, and as we talk about this, and if you're just tuning in, basically Matthew Stafford, Georgia's own, decides, hey, I'm going to go back to L.A. because it's the best situation for him. Sean McVay, that offense, they're good. They're going to be in the hunt again this year. The defense is young. It's the most inexpensive defense in the National Football League. And the fact is, he knows this. So I'm willing to restructure. Maybe I don't get, you know, the $50 million, but I still think they're going to give him $100 million guaranteed over the next 2 years. I just do. And, Turtle, the thing for me is, as we talk about the domino effect, Stafford goes back. Who else needs quarterbacks? How does this help us? If it does, this is what we're talking about and why we're talking about Cleveland specifically and the Falcons and how this may shake out. Again, Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson. I don't know if there's enough landing spots in the National Football League when it's all said and done, including the teams that are going to draft quarterbacks. Because, again, most of the teams that are drafting don't have a veteran sitting in front of these guys, so those guys are going to play. It is going to be even more interesting now this offseason to see how these quarterbacks shake out. Love to hear from you on a Friday, guys. This hour brought to you by Padley, P-A-D-L-Y. Sell your home fast for cash with PadleyBuys.com. We got a lot to talk about. B-Mac's going to join us coming up in about 5 minutes from now, and we're going to join him and discuss all these things. We'll get his take on this. But I think this is good news. Turtle, you know, we rarely agree, hardly ever. And I think you're right about this. I think this is really good news for the Falcons in a roundabout way. This could ultimately help us.
And here's the thing, too, Carl. Thank you, by the way. Thank you.
Sure, sure.
The bottom eight teams in the draft don't need quarterbacks. You have Houston, L.A., Baltimore, Detroit, Washington, Buffalo, Kansas City, Philly. There's going to be no movement there, Carl. Those teams don't have any incentive to move up. So what teams could you be looking at? Could you be looking at Pittsburgh at 21? Could you be looking at Indy at 14 when their GM openly came out and said, hey, we're going to try to give Anthony Richardson all he can handle in terms of competition? So if they're Indy and they love Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, do you try to go up to number one or number two? And again, that puts the Falcons in a sweet spot. Guys, if you look at the national perspective of who Kirk Cousins is.
Who is he?
He has more clout than Sam Darnold. He has more clout than Justin Fields. Right now in his career, not in his prime, but he has more clout than Russell Wilson. The league saw what happened last year. And that's why, unfortunately, Carl, as much as we all despise him for it, maybe that's a little strong, as much as I despise him for it, I won't put words in your mouth. That's why he did what he did. For this exact reason. Because now, is Cleveland, is Tennessee, is Indianapolis, is Pittsburgh sitting there licking their chops going, hey, Kirk Cousins threw for 500 yards in a...
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more.
StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game. Kirk Cousins threw for 4 touchdowns, not once but twice before he got hurt. Kirk Cousins was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week, not once but twice before he got hurt. Are they now licking their chops saying, he's better than Sam Darnold, and he's on a shorter-term contract? He's going to be better than Justin Fields, who's going to want a long-term deal. He's going to be better than Russell Wilson, who's going to want one more long-term deal before his career wraps up. I think this makes it's good and it's bad for the Falcons, right? It's good because now there's a whole new set of leverage that wasn't there before for the team to potentially trade him with the Stafford news. But also, it's continuing to rub salt in the wound of what happened just a few weeks ago. But you have to take the good with the bad because now there's actually a chance, and I think it's more than just a sliver, that you can move this guy.
Are you saying that we should be pumping up Kirk Cousins even more now so to get people more interested, even though we're all in our field still about this situation?
Yeah, hey, Indy.
I was like, man, this dude is legit.
He's legit. Hey, Indy, you are stuck in the middle. They've been trying to figure out their quarterback situation since God knows when. Since Peyton Manning retired, Andrew Luck retired. They've been trying to figure out their quarterback situation. You're telling me you bring in Kirk Cousins to push Anthony Richardson and get his you-know-what on the bench? I'm interested now. Because I know why. Because if I'm Chris Ballard, I'm sitting there thinking, Anthony Richardson's never thrown for 500 yards in a game. He's never thrown 4 touchdowns in a game twice in a season. He's never been AFC Offensive Player of the Week twice in a season. Kirk Cousins? And I only got to pay him what? If I eat $5 million, I only got to pay him $5 million and give up a 4th or 5th round draft pick? I think that's worth it to push Anthony Richardson. And that helps me get out from under it because where was he drafted, Carl? Yeah. Yeah, where was Anthony Richardson drafted? And that case that I just laid out for Indy, you can make the same case for Pittsburgh. We had 2 quarterbacks last year, so we actually had none. You can make that case for Cleveland. They made the NFL's biggest mistake of all time in paying Deshaun Watson. And you could say for Tennessee, who has egg on its face right now for drafting Will Levis. So you can make the case for all of the teams that would be in the market for Kirk Cousins that there would be a reason to not only trade for him, but make it a semi-competitive offer because there could be teams that would also be interested.
Turtle, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm having a hard time trying to be positive about this situation. But the way you're laying this out, I might have to be. And I think you should be too. This might help our team. We're going to talk to Bryant McFadden, 2-time Super Bowl champion, coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I think when somebody wants you, they show you. Money talks, BS walks. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about Matthew Stafford remaining with the Rams and how this domino could affect the rest of the league and probably will. Apparently, Sean McVay spoke with Stafford this morning. Early, early on the West Coast, should I say, is about 6:30 a.m. and talking through this whole ordeal. And Stafford's going to remain with the Rams. And let's bring in our buddy Bryant McFadden, 2-time Super Bowl champion, CBS NFL analyst as well. B, did you expect this? I think a lot of people thought that Stafford was on his way out and he was going to get a chance to pick his team and where he wanted to go. But he decides to stay with the restructured deal. Now, we do not know what the deal is going to look like, but we do know he was seeking at least $100 million over the next 2 years in guarantees.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't expecting this, honestly, because it felt like both sides were willing to depart and separate. But I can tell you this much. I think this was the best move for either side. You know, when you look at the Rams, clearly Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford has been overly successful pairing with each other. You look at what happened in the NFC Championship game. The wild card game. They were a position away from beating the Eagles, and they actually played against the Eagles better than any team the Eagles faced throughout the postseason. And they were able to do so with a lot of players that you don't really recognize as outstanding stars. You know what I mean? Now, of course, through the season, guys developed to be those type of players. But if you look at their roster compared to some of the other teams in the playoffs, you wouldn't expect for their team to be as talented and as productive as they've been. And then for Matthew Stafford, you with Sean McVay, you put up outstanding numbers. With Sean McVay as a team, you won. You found ways to win ball games. If you got traded to the Raiders or the Giants or some other organization, it's probably safe to say you wouldn't have seen the overall team success that you've seen in L.A.
B, when it comes to other quarterback movement, word just coming down out of New York that Aaron Rodgers and the New York Giants have spoken about a potential marriage there. I don't think that fits the timeline for Aaron Rodgers at all, but apparently he doesn't want to move out of the New York area. He likes it there, and he also is a really big fan of Malik Nabers. That could be a deadly combination there, but they're not winning a Super Bowl anytime soon, and he's 40-something years old, B.
Hey, that's like a lateral move for Aaron Rodgers at best. Best case scenario, that's a lateral move. To your point, Chris, the New York Giants, they're not a really, really good team. And I don't think they're going to be a much better team than what we saw in 2024. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, do you want to go into a situation where you got to kind of be the savior for your team to be successful, right? And at his stage in his career, I don't know if he has what it takes to be able to bail out an entire team. And then think about this. The issue for the New York Giants over the last 5-plus years offensively has been what? Offensive line play. So now, Aaron Rodgers, you just came from a bad situation in the Jets when you talk about the inability for their offensive lineman to protect you. It's going to get worse in New York because their offensive line, there's no better than what you just had in the New York Jets. So I don't see how it will work out, especially for Aaron Rodgers. But if you're the New York Giants, I mean, you still can go ahead and draft a bridge quarterback and maybe take a quarterback high in the second round. And just know that, you know, this is our bridge guy to whoever the new quarterback will be that you decide to select in the draft.
It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris in for Mike today as we talk to our man, Brian McFadden. All things covered as the podcast. And we talk to B as all this stuff is going on now in the offseason. You know, we've been keeping a close eye on the combine. I want to get your thoughts on the quarterback. Since we're talking about the free agent quarterbacks, what about the quarterbacks in this draft? Shedeur Sanders spoke today. We'll let you hear a little bit of what he had to say. Arrogant, a little bit cocky, yeah, but you know what? That's what he comes from, right, B? I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less from a guy named, you know, Sanders. And so today when he says, look, I'm willing to go anywhere and make it work. I had 6 offensive coordinators in my college tenure. I thought it was an interesting point basically saying the whole idea of me picking up any offense is ridiculous.
Yeah, and the thing also, too, when you look at Shedeur Sanders, I understand some people might be annoyed with how he feels and his confidence, but I like that because he is who he is. But name me another quarterback in college football that have played major college football guys that have been comfortable being uncomfortable like Shedeur Sanders. To your point, multiple offensive coordinators he had to adjust to, multiple offensive schemes he had to prepare for, right? And then offensive line play. They could not run the football. They had no running game, and they couldn't pass protect. He was one of the more sacked quarterbacks of the last 2 seasons in college football. But if you look at his numbers and you did a blind resume, you wouldn't know because he still stood in the paint and he found ways to deliver against whoever it was he was playing against. And then you look at being a high-drafted quarterback, you guys know this, you're going into a really tough situation, right? You're going into a situation like Caleb Williams did. Offensive line was atrocious. And that really hurt him. But the thing about Shedeur Sanders, he's used to being uncomfortable. So I love that because you're going to go in a situation, whatever organization decides to draft you, is going to be uncomfortable moments throughout the season, and you're going to still need to deliver, and he's shown the ability to do that.
B, how much stock do you put in a combine warrior versus a guy that's shown it on the field week in and week out in college football? Because we saw Shamar Stewart basically set combine records all day yesterday, but he simply didn't show out at A&M. So should a team take a chance on that high, or should you wait a little bit further back in the draft?
You know what? What I do is, Chris, I look at the system they were a part of in college. Because to your point, Shamar Stewart had a great combine, which I wasn't surprised because he's always been a superior athlete. But then if you look at what he did at the Senior Bowl, right, what turned on for him at the Senior Bowl, he was unblockable. We saw bursts. We saw a toughness. We saw the ability to be a disruptor. But we saw that in a week of play at the Senior Bowl, but we didn't see that time and time again at A&M. You know why? because of their defensive scheme there. Oftentimes when you watch A&M, especially a year ago, you didn't see their defensive linemen being disruptors. And what I mean when I say that, playing on the opposite end of the line of scrimmage, trying to be penetrators. Oftentimes you saw them catching. Now, was that something that was coached? It seemed to be. Because if you look at the opposite defensive end, opposite of Shamor Stewart, it was Nick Scorton. Before Nick transferred to A&M, he was at Purdue. He was a double-digit sack guy at Purdue. And we're talking about that. That's the year that Michigan won the national championship. When you look at some of the defenders they had, along with Ohio State and some of the other teams at Penn State, Nick Scorton was the best pass rusher. But then when he went to A&M, we didn't see the same production. And it's hard to really imagine that because you're telling me Nick Scorton, who potentially could be a first-rounder, was playing opposite of another first-rounder. How many defensive line units in college football had two potential first-round defensive ends? Not a lot. But because of their scheme, you didn't see either guy be as dominant as they could be. So that's why I say I don't put a lot of, you know, I don't put a lot of attention on what we didn't see from Shamor Stewart. From the individual side of things, it was more about what they wanted their defensive linemen to do more so than the individuals.
B, you played defensive back in the National Football League, won two Super Bowls. What do you think about this crop of corners? Because that is an area that the Falcons could also certainly look at. And if any of these edge guys are not there, potentially, they could go with the top corner in this draft.
Yeah, well, this cornerback class, my personal opinion about it, is not as deep as we've seen in years past, me personally. But there's still good value. I think for Atlanta in round one and round two, guys, you got to go defense. You got to go defense. You got to go find some guys that look like what they hunt. And those are guys that put pressure on opposing quarterbacks. Then you got to go find guys that can play some good football in the secondary. So for Atlanta, when it comes to first and second round, pick and choose. You know, which direction are you going? But you got to go guys that put their hand in the dirt, and then you got to go get a cover guy. And when you look at what the Falcons potentially could select in the second round, I mean, you got some quality names available, second round potential. Denzel Burke from Ohio State could be a guy that could be available. Darian Porter from Iowa State, round 6'3", 6'4", very, very lengthy corner. Definitely could be a second round type talent. You know, Trey Amos from Mississippi could be a second round potential guy as well. So those are some names to monitor in terms of second round value, because I do believe, guys, the first round pick for Atlanta should be a guy that can go put pressure on the opposing quarterbacks, in my opinion. And then you go get you a corner in the second round.
You know, before we let you out of here, B, we got to ask about your boys, because it's the gift that keeps on giving. One day it's Russ. One day it's Justin Fields. One day it's somebody else. Where's your gauge at right now with what they're going to do at QB?
My gauge, it should be Justin Fields, man. That's my gauge. And here's why. Justin Fields is only 25. So there's still upside there. There's still potential there. Justin Fields probably would be cheaper than Russell Wilson because he only played 6 games. For the Pittsburgh Steelers compared to the bigger workload by Russell. So give me the guy who you can get at a cheaper rate, and give me the guy that also provides a sense of youth. And then the last thing in terms of those two players, guys, one thing we know about Russell Wilson, right? If the pocket isn't clean, two things will happen for sure. He's going to take a sack or he's throwing the ball into the second row. At least Justin Fields can buy time. That's the thing. Right? And you're talking about an offense that lacks playmakers. So Justin Fields would be my guy. But, you know, unfortunately, I don't get paid the type of money that's deserving to make that call. So we got to see how it plays out.
Don't you think, though, that call finally could cost Mike T his job? Seriously.
Wow. You know what? In terms of job security, making that, no, I don't think so. I think Mike Tomlin's job security is very, very safe. It wouldn't be in question if he went the wrong direction. Because you got to look at what he did in making the move mid-season, right? I mean, they were 4-2 in a 6-game stretch, and he went Russell, and it looked well. And then, of course, it kind of flatlined towards the end of the season. So I think Mike Tomlin understands, regardless of the direction he goes, his job security is safe. There's nothing to really think about for him. And until we see otherwise, because of how consistent he's been. So maybe that will play in a part because, you know, when your job security is on the line, you might do things a little differently. But for him, his job security is not in question, and it wouldn't be in question regardless of which quarterback he decides to pick.
Bryant McFadden, All Things Covered, the podcast. Of course, NFL analyst for CBS Sports, guys. Check him out. B-Mac, always a pleasure, man. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, we're coming back. We got plenty more to dive into. I'm live at State Farm Arena where tonight, best team in the West is in town. OKC and SGA taking on the Hawks. We'll dive into that and much more coming up as part of our daily download. Hope you're having a great Friday. Coming up, I got to tell you guys, Oren, Chris, I pulled the trigger. I did it. And I put it together myself because I'm a man and I did man things today. I'll get into all of that coming up here on the show. 404-726-0929. Mike's out today. Chris is in talking about all the things that are going on at the Combine. How you guys doing, man, by the way? Back at the studio. I'm down here for OKC tonight. Big O, what's going on today, man?
Doing well, man. Setting up an appointment to go see another house tomorrow. So knock on all the wood that it goes well. And this one doesn't have a toilet that is designed for end-of-day scenario. So, yeah.
But look, as I said, you're going to find your spot. You're going to find.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. And
by the way,
it's going
to root everything else before you get there.
Exactly. And it may happen when you least expect it. Like, you're going to get to the point where you're like, oh, we're going to see another house. I'm tired of this. And it'll be the perfect house. So stay patient. Chris, what's going on today, man? How you feeling?
Took till the 240 segment, so I'm proud of our listeners. But we got people texting and tweeting in now. Oh, Turtle, Carl, Zeno was right. The Colonel was right because he said that Terry Fontenot was going to have to find a trade partner for Kirk Cousins, and now it looks like he's going to be able to. No. Hang on, everybody. You're playing the result. Because Matthew Stafford was not expected to stay in L.A. True. Him staying in L.A. changes everything. Because he was the number one option for not one, but two franchises. The Giants, he was the number one option. And the Raiders, he was the number one option. So now both of those teams need to pivot. Which means the entire top of the draft is now potentially up for grabs if the package is big enough, which makes guys like Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers, and yes, Kirk Cousins now something that's going to be harder to obtain. There was a plethora of quarterbacks available. Now the number one option is off the board, and specifically for two teams that are in the top six in the draft. So let's not go giving Mark Zeno his flowers.
Credit to because, Mark Zeno for asking a tough question.
No. He did not have a crystal ball and predict that Stafford was staying in L.A. So hang on before you do that, everybody.
Credit to Mark Zeno for asking
No.
All right.
No.
And by the way, here's what the Colonel said. He said that Terry Fontenot was going to have to go find a trade partner and convince somebody that they needed Kirk Cousins. And if he wasn't doing that, he wasn't doing his job. That was his initial argument about where this was and what needed to take place. And my thing at the time, a couple of weeks ago, was, doesn't matter, what are you doing? The Jedi mind trick? Now, nobody's, you now need Kirk Cousins. Cousins needs you. What are you doing? So nobody was going to be tricked into this, but to Turtle's point, the marketplace has changed. But still, that's not Terry Fontenot calling somebody and going, you need Kirk Cousins. Cousins needs you. That's not this. The marketplace has changed, and therefore it may have more opportunities for us to maneuver. But I'm with you on this. Slow down, everybody. Slow down. All right, man. Big Friday show. We got a lot more to get to. Steve Kuhn is going to join us a little bit later on in the program as the Hawks here ready to take on OKC. We're going to talk more about that. Matt Mershall is going to join us as well, college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. He is a great college football guy, and love talking with Matt. And we'll get his take on all this stuff that's going on at the Combine and beyond. I will say this, and I do want to mention this because I just, you know, we talked about it a little bit with BMAC. the Shedeur Sanders today, his comments, you know, talking about, you know, being able to adapt to any offense and his swag. And look, I don't know if that turns people off. It used to. Turtle, I remember there was a time where you wanted to be nice and proper and make sure you had your hat on straight. He doesn't give a damn. This is who I am. You know who I'm. You know who you're drafting. And I like that about Shedeur Sanders. But that's who his dad was. You know, his dad was the flamboyant, created this character Prime, and made a lot of money because of it. But he was also really good. But my point is, like, don't get caught up in all of that. Shedeur Sanders is a really good quarterback. How good? I'm still yet to try to figure out what his comp is and who he's going to be in the National Football League. I've been asking around people up there. I'm like, talking to my buddies in the NFL. I'm like, who is he? Who does he remind you of? Because like last year with Drake May, and I told Mike this, I said, look, they're telling me Drake May could be Justin Herbert. And if he's Justin Herbert, then you got the right guy. All of a sudden last season, Turtle, what did Drake May look like?
He looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good.
And
so,
to your point about Shedeur real quick, Carl, what did you expect him to say? I'm sorry. Did you not listen to him since he got to Colorado? Did you not listen to his dad? To your point, like, to be shocked and awed and appalled by this, like, have you literally been living under a rock? I quite frankly don't understand.
Well, remember now, we're more than just sports fans. This is our job. There are a lot of people, Turtle, who casually watch games on Saturday and they go, oh, Colorado, let me see the hype. Okay, he's all right. They don't follow them or the program every day. So now, as he's being put in the limelight for the upcoming NFL draft, this is your first time maybe hearing him. It's your first time actually seeing him speak. It's your first time seeing him. You didn't watch Colorado press conferences after games. So that is the difference. Now you're being thrust into the national spotlight, where if you were a Big 12 fan, yeah, maybe you paid attention. If you're a Colorado fan, you definitely did. This is different. So now people start to judge and have opinions about you a little bit differently because they're like, oh, yeah, I saw that guy, and you know our team needs a quarterback, and I'm not sure. That's how this gets going. That's why I bring it up. I don't think it's a big deal. I think everything you said was right on point, and I loved his swag today. All right, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Turtle is here with me hanging out. Oren behind the glass, our engineer. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number two.
So what Hawks team is going to show up tonight? Turtle, is it the team that they played defense against the Miami Heat about three nights ago? Is it the team that gave up a bunch of threes? And I give the Heat credit. They were so hot. But what team is going to show up? Because they are facing arguably the best team in the NBA tonight in Oklahoma City. This is not going to be an easy task.
I don't even think it's arguable, Carl. I think they are the best team in the NBA. But they're 12.5-point home dogs. Like, you just don't see that ever. Except if you're the Washington Wizards or the Charlotte Hornets of the world, which the Hawks are not. They're better than that. This is going to be a tough one. Because here's the thing. The Hawks have, like, three-ish guys that could play defense. And OKC has, like, nine guys that could score in double figures.
They're a good defensive team.
And they're also good on defense. So I'm not really sure they're going to have the horses to keep up in this one because they come at you in waves. Because you think OKC and you just think Shea. It's not just him. They have a bunch of guys. Their bench is really deep. Hartenstein was one of the biggest signings in the offseason. He's a beast. The Hawks don't have anybody that can keep up with him. So listen, would I be shocked if they pull it off? No, because they have beaten teams like the Cavs and the Celtics this season. So
sure,
anything is possible. But at the end of the day, on paper, what Vegas is telling you, I think you may just have to eat this one.
Yeah, look, you talk about Aaron Wiggins. You talk about Jalen Williams. These are names you may or may not know. And, oh, by the way, I mean, a guy that they could be getting back in Chet Holmgren, who's missed, I think, 40. Elvis is coming off of a top performance as well. He had 22 and 17 and three blocks and two steals in their win over Brooklyn. So that was Wednesday. You're absolutely right. Can I hear Quinn Snyder talking about just competing no matter what type of game is getting played, whether, you know, teams are knocking down threes or you're having success or vice versa? This was Quinn Snyder's message the other night.
Sometimes you can overanalyze this stuff. Like,
One team makes everything and one team has a tough shooting. Again, I'm not diminishing, you know, what's actually happening on the floor, whether it be tactically or effort or, you know, those things are clearly important. But you just have different types of games. And I think the challenge is to be able to, you know, to compete in both types of games.
I agree. That's kind of my message was what my message was to you when we were talking about the 148, you know, score the other night or you know, earlier in the week. You have different games every night. And tonight, by the way, this may be another high-scoring game. Can you compete and find a way to win at the end? We're going to see with the Hawks. Let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
NFL Combine. Yesterday, Turtle, after all of the edge rushers worked out, has your opinion changed on any one particular guy?
No, because we just talked about this with B-Mac, Bryant McFadden. It needs to be a combination of everything, right? Like, if Mike Green has small hands, is that really going to stop me from taking him?
He had
17 sacks last year. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, these are helpful.
Size matters.
It does, but these are helpful measurements to maybe push one guy over the edge slightly. If you had two guys rated the exact same and one guy had 8.5-inch hands and the other guy had 10.75.
Give me the big hands.
Yeah, okay, fine. But I don't think any one of these guys – we were doing that with the Falcons, frankly, because, Carl, I don't think there's going to be a ton of these top guys there when they pick at 15. I think there's going to be three or four guys that get taken off the board before that. So I think it's going to kind of be maybe between Mykel Williams and Mike Green or between Shamar Stewart and James Pierce. Like, I don't think it's going to be all four of those guys are going to be on the board at 15. So for the Falcons, I don't think it overcomplicates things, Carl, despite some of these guys showing out, because I just don't think they're all going to be there for them. So you just need to know who you want where, how you value them, which is what Terry Fontenot's job is, and then you run from there. So, no, I don't think yesterday swung me completely in the direction of don't take this guy or you absolutely have to go for another guy.
Shamar Stewart, he didn't move up in your book?
No, because he didn't do anything in college, Carl. It's just hard to say that this guy is going to be a dominant force at the next level when he didn't do it at the collegiate level. It's just that to me is still a gamble on promise. And if I'm the Falcons, I want the closest thing to day one NFL ready as possible, right? Isn't that what you want?
Yes. You need an impact player immediately. Not 3 years from now. We don't have to wait. We don't need to wait 3 years. Big O, let me hear Malachi Starks talking about playing for the Falcons, because we've talked about this scenario as well. Now, I don't think you take a safety at 15, okay? But I do think you take one in the mid-20s if you happen to move back and you collect some additional picks. This is Malachi Starks. He is arguably the best safety on the board out of Georgia. Here's what he said about playing for the hometown team.
I mean, that'd be awesome. I get to stay home. But, you know, I watched them growing up, and, you know, they got great history there. So just being able to, you know, I just want to get my foot in the door anywhere.
Yeah, see, and that's part of this. Is like a lot of guys want to come in and tell you how good they're going to be. Malachi Starks is like, look, I'm just trying to get to the league and figure out how I can be really good. But I think he's going to be a really talented and good player, and he's going to help a team. Is it going to be the Falcons? I don't know. But that is an option if we decide to potentially go safety. And again, I know you guys, everybody, you know, Mike was talking about offense yesterday, which was mind-boggling to me. All these picks better be defense for me. I'm going to say it now. I'll say it next month. I'll say it in April. Every single one of them. If it's not, I'm going to have an issue. Because you can't continue to call this show or text me or tweet me and tell me how bad the defense is, but then be okay if we decide to go offense. So that's where I'm at. But Starks is a guy that we'll keep an eye on. This hour brought to you by our friends at Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We got a lot more to dive into here on the show. As we mentioned, we're going to talk to Matt Mercer, some college football on the way here in about 25 minutes. But when we get back, the latest around the league in our 4th-and-1 segment, including a premier corner who apparently may be on the block. We'll tell you who it is coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight. You can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.